Mr. Allman, my name's Jack Torrance.
His office is the first door on the left.
Thank you. Mr. Allman?
Yes?
I'm Jack Torrance.
Oh, well, come on in, Jack. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Allman.
This is my secretary, Susie.
Hello.
Susie, how do you do?
Have any trouble finding us?
Oh, no problem at all. I made the trip in 3.5 hours.
Wow, that's a very good sign. Hey, what place, Sam?
Jack, just make yourself at home. Would you like some coffee?
Well, if you're going to have some, I wouldn't mind. Thanks.
Susie?
Sure.
Oh, and would you ask Bill Watson to join us?
Yes, I will. Mom? Yeah?
Do you really want to go and live in that hotel for the winter?
Sure I do. It'll be lots of fun.
Yeah, I guess so. In a way, there's hardly anybody to play with around here.
Yeah, I know. It always takes a little time to make new friends.
Yeah, I guess so.
What about Tony? He's looking forward to the hotel, I bet.
No, I ain't, Mr. Torrance.
Now, come on, Tony. Don't be silly.
I don't want to go there, Mrs. Torrance.
Well, how come you don't want to go?
I just don't.
Well, let's just wait and see. We're all going to have a real good time.
Bill?
I'd like you to meet Jack Torrance.
How do you do?
Bill, how do you do?
Meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Grab a chair, Bill. Join in. Jack is going to take care of the Overlook for us this winter. I'd like you to take him around the place soon as we're through.
Fine.
Jack is a school teacher.
Formerly a school teacher. What line of work are you in now? I'm a writer. Teaching's been more or less a way of making ends meet.
Well, this ought to be quite a change for you.
Well, I'm looking for a change.
Our people in Denver recommended Jack very highly, and for once, I agree with them. Let's see, where were we? I was, about to explain that our season here runs from May 15th to October 30th. Then we close down completely until the following May.
Do you mind if I ask why you do that? It seems to me that the skiing up here would be fantastic.
Oh, it sure would be. The problem is the enormous cost it would be to keep the road to Sidewinder open. It's a 25-mile stretch of road. It gets an average of 20 feet of snow during the winter, and there's no way to make it economically feasible to keep it clear. When the place was built in 1907, there was very little interest in winter sports, and this site was chosen for its seclusion and scenic beauty.
Well, it's certainly got plenty of that.
That's right. Did they give you any idea in Denver about what the job entails?
Only in a very general way.
Well, the winters can be fantastically cruel. And the basic idea is to cope with the very costly damage and depreciation which can occur. And this consists mainly of running the boiler, heating different parts of the hotel on a daily rotating basis, repairing damage as it occurs, and doing repairs so that the elements can't get a foothold.
Well, that sounds fine to me.
Physically, it's not a very demanding job. The only thing that can get a bit trying up here during the winter is a tremendous sense of isolation.
Well, that just happens to be exactly what I'm looking for. I'm outlining a new writing project, and 5 months of peace is just what I want.
That's very good, Jack. Because for some people, solitude and isolation can, of itself, become a problem.
Not for me.
How about your wife and son? How do you think they'll take to it?
They'll love it.
Great. Well, before I turn you over to Bill, there's one other thing I think we should talk about. I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it's something that's been known to give a few people second thoughts about the job.
I'm intrigued.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970?
I don't believe they did.
Well, my predecessor in his job hired a man named Charles Grady as the winter caretaker. And he came up here with his wife and two little girls, I think about 8 and 10. And he had a good employment record, good references. And from what I've been told, I mean, he seemed like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe. Stacked them neatly in one of the rooms of the West Wing, and then he put both barrels of a shotgun in his mouth. Police, they thought that it was what the old-timers used to call cabin fever. Kind of claustrophobic reaction which can occur when people are shut in together over long periods of time.
Well, that is quite a story.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's still hard for me to believe it actually happened here. But it did. And I think you can appreciate why I wanted to tell you about it.
I certainly can, and I also understand why your people in Denver left it for you to tell me.
Well, obviously, I mean, some people can be put off by the idea of staying alone at a place where something like that actually happened.
Well, You can rest assured, Mr. Ullman, that's not going to happen with me. And as far as my wife is concerned, I'm sure she'll be absolutely fascinated when I tell her about it. She's a confirmed ghost story and horror film addict.
Tony, do you think Dad'll get the job?
He already did. He's gonna phone Wendy up in a few minutes to tell her.
Hello?
Hi, babe.
Hi, hon. How's it going?
Great. Look, I'm at the hotel and I still have an awful lot to go through. I don't think I could get home before 9 or 10.
Sounds like you got the job?
Right. It's a beautiful place. You and Danny are going to love it.
Tony, why don't you want to go to the hotel?
I don't know.
You do too know. No, come on, tell me.
Don't want to.
Please.
No.
No, Tony, tell me.
Brushing your teeth. Do you remember if you smelled anything funny or saw any bright flashing lights or anything at all strange?
No.
Do you remember when you were brushing your teeth?
Yes.
What's the next thing you remember after you were brushing your teeth?
I'll say, wake up, wake up. Wake up, Danny, wake up.
Now, Danny, can you remember what you were doing just before you started brushing your teeth?
Talking to Tony.
Is Tony one of your animals?
No, he's a little boy that lives in my mouth.
Tony says imaginary friend.
Oh. If you were to open your mouth now, could I see Tony?
No.
Why not?
Because he hides.
Where does he go?
To my stomach.
Does Tony ever tell you to do things?
I don't want to talk about Tony anymore.
Okay. That's fine. All right, Danny. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and stay quietly in bed for the rest of the day, okay?
Oh, I have to?
Yes, I'd like you to.
We're just going to go in the other room for a few minutes and talk. And I'll come back and check on you, okay?
Okay.
Bye. Shall we go into the living room?
Yes.
Please. Thank you.
Mrs. Torrance, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I'm quite sure there's nothing physically wrong with Danny.
Yeah? Oh. Yeah, he seems absolutely fine now. But you should have seen him.
I know. Kids can scare you to death. But believe me, these episodes are not at all uncommon. And they look much worse than they are.
But, what was the matter with him?
Mrs. Torrance, most of the time these episodes with kids are never explained. They're brought on by emotional factors, and they rarely occur again. They're more akin to auto-hypnosis, a kind of self-induced trance. If it reoccurs, which I doubt, we can always think about having some tests done. No, thank you.
Oh, I'm sure you're right.
Have you been in Boulder long, Mrs. Torrance?
Only about 3 months. We're from Vermont. My husband was teaching school there.
Did the appearance of Danny's imaginary friend...
Tony.
Did Tony's first appearance happen to coincide with your arrival here?
No. Let's see. I guess Danny started talking to Tony about the time we put him in nursery school.
Did he adjust well to school?
No. He didn't like it too much at first. And then he had an injury, so we kept him out for a while. And yeah, I guess that's about the time when I first noticed that he was talking to Tony.
What sort of injury did he have?
He dislocated his shoulder.
How did he manage to do that?
Well, it was just one of those things, you know, purely an accident. My husband had been drinking, and he came home about 3 hours late. So he wasn't exactly in the greatest mood that night. And, well, Danny had scattered some of his school papers all over the room, and my husband grabbed his arm, you know, to pull him away from him. It's just the sort of thing you do 100 times with a child, you know, in the park or in the streets. But on this particular occasion, my husband just used too much strength and he injured Danny's arm. Anyway, something good did come out of it all because he said, Wendy, I'm never going to touch another drop. And if I do, you can leave me. And he didn't. And he
should have eaten your breakfast.
We'll get you something as soon as we get to the hotel, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Hey, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound?
I think that was farther west in the Sierras.
What was the Donner Party?
They were a party of settlers in covered wagon times. They got snowbound one winter in the mountains. They had to resort to cannibalism in order to stay alive.
You mean they ate each other up?
They had to, in order to survive.
Yes.
Don't worry, Mom. I know all about cannibalism. I saw it on TV.
See? It's okay. You saw it on the television.
First.
Hi, Mr. Altman.
Hi. Good morning, Jack. Hope you haven't been waiting too long.
No problem. Back, we had time to grab a bite to eat.
Good. Glad you made it before they shut down the kitchen. Is your family having a look around?
No, my son's discovered the games room.
Has your luggage been brought in? Right there.
Oh, fine.
Well, in view of all the ground we have to cover today, I suggest we go have a quick look at your apartment and then get started straight away. Bill, would you have the Torrances' things brought to their apartments?
Fine.
I better collect my family first.
Oh.
This is our Colorado lounge.
Oh, it's beautiful. My God. This place is fantastic, isn't it, hon?
Sure is.
God, I've never seen anything like this before. Are all these Indian designs authentic?
Yeah, I believe they're based mainly on Navajo and Apache motifs.
Oh, well, they're really gorgeous. As a matter of fact, this is probably the most gorgeous hotel I've ever seen.
Oh, this old place has had an illustrious past. In its heyday, it was one of the stopping places for the jet set, even before anybody knew what a jet set was. We had four presidents who stayed here. Lots of movie stars.
Royalty?
All the best people. None of the other bedrooms are heated during the winter.
Oh, goodbye, Mr. Ullman.
Goodbye, girls. And here are your quarters. Living room, bedroom, bathroom, and a small bedroom for your son.
Perfect for a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the place is very nicely self-contained. Easy to keep. Cozy.
Yes, very cozy for a family. And if you feel like spreading out, you have the rest of the hotel to move around in.
Well, it's very, homey.
Yeah.
This is our famous hedge maze. It's quite an attraction around here. The walls are 13 feet high. And the hedge is about as old as the hotel itself. It's a lot of fun. But I wouldn't want to go in there unless I had an hour to spare to find my way out.
When was the overlook built?
Construction started in 1907. It's finished in 1909. The site is supposed to be located on an Indian burial ground, and I believe they actually had to repel a few Indian attacks as they were building it. That's our snow cat. Can you both drive a car?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because basically, the snowcat operates very much like a car, and it won't take you long to get the hang of it. As a matter of fact, we brought a decorator in from Chicago just last year to refurbish this part of the hotel.
Oh, well, he sure did a beautiful job. Pink and gold are my favorite colors.
Oh, well, this is our gold ballroom.
Oh, I'll say.
We can accommodate up to 300 people here very comfortably.
Boy, I bet you we could really have a good party in this room, huh?
I'm afraid you're not going to do too well here unless you brought your own supplies. We always remove all the booze from the premises when we shut down. That reduces the insurance we normally have to carry.
We don't drink.
Well, then you're in luck. Oh, Dick, come on over and say hello to Mr. and Mrs. Torrance.
Sure.
This is Dick Halloran, our head chef.
Mr. Halloran, I'm Jack.
Nice to meet you,
Jack.
This
is my wife, Winifred.
Nice to meet you,
Winifred. Nice to meet you.
The Torrances are going to take care of the Overlook for us this winter.
Oh, that's just great. How do you folks like our hotel so far?
Oh, it's just wonderful. Hi, Danny.
I found him outside looking for you.
Dan, did you get tired of bombing the universe?
Yeah.
Come on over here. Thanks.
Thank you, Susie. Dick, if you're ready to do it now, I think it'd be a good idea if you could show Mrs. Torrance the kitchen while I continue on with Jack.
It'd be a pleasure. Right this way, Mrs. Torrance.
Great. See you later, hon.
Bye, Don.
Mrs. Torrance, your husband introduced you as Winifred. Now, are you a Wendy or a Freddy?
I'm a Wendy.
Oh, Wendy. That's nice. That's the prettiest.
God, this is the kitchen, huh?
Yeah, this is it. How do you like it, Danny? Is it big enough for you?
Yeah. Best place I've ever seen.
Yeah, this whole place is such an enormous maze. I feel like I'll have to leave a trail of breadcrumbs every time I come in.
Don't let it get you down, Mrs. Torrance. It's big, but it's still ain't nothing but a kitchen. A lot of this stuff you'll never have to touch.
I wouldn't know what to do with it if I did.
Well, one thing for sure, you don't have to worry about food, because you folks have eat up here a whole year and never had the same menu twice. Now, right here is our walk-in freezer. Now, this is where we keep all of our meat. You got 15 rib roasts, 30 10-pound bags of hamburger. We got 12 turkeys, about 40 chickens, 50 sirloin steaks, 2 dozen of pork roasts, and 20 legs of lamb. You like lamb, Doc?
No.
You don't? Well, what's your favorite food, then?
French fries and ketchup.
Well, I think we can manage that, too, Doc. Come along now. Watch your step.
Mr. Halloran, how'd you know we call him Doc?
Beg pardon?
Doc. You called Danny Doc twice just now.
I did?
Yeah. We call him Doc sometimes, you know, like in the Bugs Bunny cartoons. But how did you know that?
Well, I guess I probably heard you call him that.
Well, it's possible, but I honestly don't remember calling him that since we've been with you.
Well, anyway, he looks like a Doc, doesn't he?
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
Now, this is the storeroom. In here, Mrs. Torrance, is where we keep all the dry goods and the canned goods. We got canned fruits and vegetables, canned fish and meats, hot and cold cereals, post toasters, corn flakes, sugar puffs, Rice Krispies, oatmeal, wheat thin and cream of wheat. You got a dozen jugs of black molasses. We got 60 boxes of dry milk, 34 pound bags of sugar.
How'd you like some ice cream, Doc?
Sociables, mango rolls, and 7 kinds of what have you. Now we got dried peaches, dried apricots, dried raisins, and dried prunes. You know, Mrs. Torrance, you got to keep regular if you want to be happy.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you getting on?
Just fine.
Dick, can we borrow Mrs. Torrance for a few minutes? We're on our way through to the basement. I promise we won't keep her very long.
No problem, Mr. Urban. We're just getting to the ice cream. You like ice cream, Doc?
Yeah.
I thought you did. You folks don't mind if I give Danny some ice cream while I'm waiting for you?
Not at all.
No, we don't mind.
Good.
Sound good to you, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay, you behave yourself.
Now, what kind of ice cream do you like, Doc?
Chocolate.
Chocolate it shall be. Come on, son.
It's amazing how much activity's going on today.
Yes, well, the guests and some of the staff left yesterday, but the last day's always very hectic. Everybody wants to be on their way as early as possible. By 5 o'clock tonight, you'll never know anybody was ever here.
Just like a ghost ship, huh?
Yes.
Do you know how I knew your name was Doc? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I can remember when I was a little boy, my grandmother and I could hold conversations entirely without ever opening our mouths. She called it shining. And for a long time, I thought it was just the two of us that had the shine to us. Just like you probably thought you was the only one. But there are other folks, though mostly they don't know it or don't believe it. How long have you been able to do it? Why don't you want to talk about it?
I'm not supposed to.
Who says you ain't supposed to?
Tony.
Who's Tony?
Tony is the little boy that loves my mom.
Is Tony the one that tells you things?
Yes.
How does he tell you things?
It's like I go to sleep and he shows me things. But when I wake up, I can't remember everything.
Does your mom and dad know about Tony?
Yes.
Do they know he tells you things?
No, Tony told me never to tell him.
Has Tony ever told you anything about this place? About the Overlook Hotel?
I don't know.
Now think real hard, Doc. Think.
Maybe he showed me something.
Try to think of what it was.
Drallon, are you scared of this place?
No. Scared of nothing here. It's just that, you know, some places are like people. Some shine and some don't. I guess you could say the Overlook Hotel here has something about it that's like shining.
Is there something bad here?
Well, you know, Doc, when something happens, it can leave a trace of itself behind. Say, like, if someone burns toast. Well, maybe things that happen leave other kind of traces behind. Not things that anyone can notice, but things that people who shine can see. Just like they can see things that haven't happened yet. Well, sometimes they can see things that happened a long time ago. I think a lot of things happened right here in this particular hotel over the years. And not all of them was good.
What about room 237?
Room 237?
You're scared of room 237, ain't you?
No, I ain't.
Mr. Allen, what is in room 237?
Nothing. There ain't nothing in room 237. But you ain't got no business going in there anyway. So stay out. You understand? Stay out.
Thank you. Good morning, hon. Your breakfast is ready.
What time is it?
It's about 11:30.
11:30.
I guess we've been staying up too late.
I know it.
I made them just the way you like them, sunny side up.
Oh, nice.
It's really pretty outside. How about taking me for a walk after you finish your breakfast?
Well, I suppose I ought to try to do some writing first.
Any ideas yet?
Lots of ideas. No good ones.
Well, something will come. It's just a matter of settling back into the habit of writing every day.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's really nice up here, isn't it?
I love it. I really do. I've never been this happy or comfortable anywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast you get used to such a big place. I tell you, when we first came up here, I thought it was kind of scary.
I fell in love with it right away. When I came up here for my interview, it was as though I'd been here before. I mean, we all have moments of deja vu, but this was ridiculous. It was almost as though I knew what was going to be around every corner.
America clean. How's that? All right. And you're gonna lose. I'm gonna get you. You better run fast. Look out. I'm coming in close.
You have to keep America clean.
Oh, no.
Keep America clean.
Okay. Annie, you win. Let's take her as walking. Huh?
Okay.
Whew. Go ahead. Isn't
it beautiful?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
serving a life sentence for his conviction in a 1968 shooting. And the search continues in the mountains near Uray today for that missing Aspen woman. 24-year-old Susan Robertson has been missing 10 days. She disappeared while on a hunting trip with her husband. They have good weather right now, but they may have to call off the search if a predicted snowstorm moves in tomorrow. Sonny, it's so beautiful here in Denver today, it's hard to believe a snowstorm could be that close.
I know. I want to go outside and lie in the sun, yet to our north, to our west, it is snowing and cold, and it's moving right here towards Colorado right now as we talk. It's incredible.
A lot written today?
Yes.
Hey, the weather forecast said it's going to snow tonight.
What do you want me to do about it?
Oh, come on, hon. Don't be so grouchy.
I'm not being grouchy. I just want to finish my work.
Okay, I understand. I'll come back later on with a couple of sandwiches for you, and maybe you'll let me read something then.
Wendy, let me explain something to you. Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me, and it will then take some time to get back to where I was. Understand?
Yeah.
Fine. And we're going to make a new rule. Whenever I'm in here, you hear me typing. Whether you don't hear me typing, whatever the fuck you hear me doing in here, when I'm in here, that means that I am working. That means don't come in. Now, do you think you can handle that?
Yeah.
Fine. Why don't you start right now and get the fuck out of here?
Okay.
Don't have.
No prayer anymore.
This is KDK-12 calling KDK-1.
KDK-12 to KDK-1.
This is KDK-1. We're receiving you. Over.
Hi, this is Wendy Torrance at the Overlook Hotel.
Hi, how are you folks getting on up there? Over.
Oh, we're just fine. But our telephones don't seem to be doing too well. Are the lines down by any chance? Over.
Yes, quite a few of them are down due to the storm. Over.
Any chance of them being repaired soon? Over.
Well, I wouldn't like to say. Most winters, they stay that way until spring. Over.
Boy, this storm is really something, isn't it? Over.
Oh, yes, it's one of the worst we've had for years. Is there anything else we can do for you, Mrs. Torrance? Over.
I suppose not. Over.
Well, if you folks have any problems up there, just give us a call. And Mrs. Torrance?
I think it might be a good idea if you leave your radio on all the time now. Over.
Okay, we'll do that. It was real nice talking to you. Bye. Over and out.
Mr. Halloran said, "It's just like pictures in a book, Annie. It isn't real."
I wouldn't think of it.
Well, how can I repay you?
It's okay, really.
Well, I'm going to have some coffee. Would you like some?
Sure.
Great. Sit down. Oh, marvelous donuts. Help yourself. Coffee will be ready in
Mom?
A minute.
Yeah?
Oh, you drink coffee, don't
Can
you?
Can I go to my room and get my fire engine?
Not right now. Daddy's asleep.
Oh, no. I take it flat.
I won't make any noise.
Now, come on, Doc. He only went to bed a few hours ago. Can't you wait till later?
I won't make a sound. I promise I'll tiptoe.
Well, all right. But really don't make a sound.
I won't, Mom.
And make sure you come right back, because I'm going to make lunch soon. Okay?
Okay, Mom.
And maybe I can drop them.
Feel bad?
No. Just a little bit tired.
Then why don't you go to sleep?
I can't. I got too much to do.
Dad? You like this hotel?
Yeah. I do. I love it. Don't you?
I guess so.
Good. I want you to like it here. I wish we could stay here forever and ever and ever.
Dad?
What?
You would never hurt Mommy and me, would you?
Ever ever say that to you? That I would hurt you?
No, Dad.
You sure?
Yes, Dad.
I love you, Danny. I love you more than anything else in the whole world. I'll never do anything to hurt you. Never. You know that, don't you? Huh?
Yes, Dad.
Okay now. Really.
Well, I dreamed that I killed you and Danny. But I didn't just kill you. I cut you up into little pieces. Oh, my God. I must be losing my mind.
Everything's gonna be all right. Come on, let's get it back to the floor.
Danny, remember what I say. Go play in your room. happened to your neck? Benny, what happened to your neck? Huh?
Hi, Lloyd. A little slow tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Torrance. What'll it be?
Now, I'm awfully glad you asked me that, Lloyd. Because I just happen to have 220s and 210s right here in my wallet. I was afraid they were going to be there till next April. So here's what. You slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice. You can do that, can't you, Lloyd? You're not too busy, are you?
No, sir. I'm not busy at all.
Good man. You set him up and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one. White man's burden. My man, white man's burden. Say, Lloyd, it seems I'm temporarily light. How's my credit in this joint, anyway?
Your credit's fine, Mr. Torrance.
That's swell. I like you, Lloyd. I always liked you. You were always the best of them. Best goddamn bartender from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine. Or Portland, Oregon, for that matter.
Thank you for saying so.
Here's to 5 miserable months on the wagon and all the irreparable harm that it's caused me.
Things going, Mr. Torrance?
Things could be better, Lloyd. Things could be a whole lot better.
I hope it's nothing serious.
No. Nothing serious. Just a little problem with the old sperm bank upstairs. Nothing I can't handle, though, Lloyd. Thanks.
Women. Can't live with them. Can't live without them.
Words of wisdom, Lloyd. Words of wisdom. I never laid a hand on him, goddammit. I didn't. I wouldn't touch one hair on his goddamn little head. I love the little son of a bitch. I'd do anything for him. Any fucking thing for him. That bitch. As long as I live, she'll never let me forget what happened. I did hurt him once, okay? It was an accident. Completely unintentional. Could have happened to anybody. And it was 3 goddamn years ago. The little fucker had thrown all my papers all over the floor. All I tried to do was pull them up. A momentary loss of muscular coordination. You extra foot pounds of energy per second. Fucking mind.
No. It's the truth, really. I swear it. Danny told me. He went up into one of the bedrooms. The door was open and he saw this crazy woman in the bathtub. She tried to strangle him.
Which room was it?
From Channel 10 in Miami, this is Newswatch with Glenn Rinker, Ann Bishop, and the award-winning Newswatch team.
Good evening, I'm Glenn Rinker, Newswatch 10. While Miami continues to swelter in a record winter heat wave, bringing temperatures to the mid and upper 90s, the central and Rocky Mountain states are buried in snow. In Colorado, 10 inches of snow has fallen in just a few hours tonight. Travel in the Rockies is almost impossible. Airports are shut down, stranding thousands of passengers. Highways are blocked by snowdrifts. Railroad tracks are frozen. Officials in Colorado tell Newswatch at least 3 people have been killed by exposure to freezing winds. The governor of Colorado is expected tomorrow to declare a weather emergency. The National Guard might be called out to clear streets and roads. Weather forecasters predict more snow and heavy winds tonight and tomorrow, with temperatures dropping well below zero. Back here in South Florida, we've got just the opposite problem. The heat and humidity are supposed to climb. Local beaches should be jammed. Our weather expert, Walter Cronice, will have the local forecast later on this morning. The Miami City Commission today approved the thank you.
It's me.
Oh, my God. Did you find anything?
No, nothing at all. I didn't see one goddamn thing.
You went into the room Danny said? To 237?
Yes, I did.
And you didn't see anything at all?
Absolutely nothing. How is he?
He's still asleep.
Good. I'm sure he'll be himself again in the morning.
Oh, are you sure it was the right room? I mean, maybe Danny made a mistake.
He must have gone in that room. The door was open, the lights were on.
I just don't understand. What about those bruises on his neck? Somebody did that to him.
I think he did it to himself. Of what happened, there is no other explanation, is there? It wouldn't be that different from the episode that he had before we came up here, would it?
Jack, whatever the explanation is, I think we have to get Danny out of here.
Get him out of here? You mean just leave the hotel? Create a problem like this when I finally have a chance to accomplish something. When I really end my work. I could really write my own ticket if I went back to Boulder now, couldn't I? Shoveling out driveways, working a car wash. Would that appeal to you?
Jake.
Wendy, I have let you fuck up my life so far, but I am not gonna let you fuck this up.
Service.
Hello. My name is Dick Halloran. I'm the head chef up at the Overlook Hotel.
Good evening, Mr. Halloran. What can I do for you?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there, but the operator said that the phone lines are down.
Yeah, I'm afraid a lot of lines around here are down due to the storm.
Well, look, sir, I hate to put you through any trouble, but there's a family up there all by themselves with a young kid. And with this storm and everything, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd give them a call on your radio just to see if everything's okay.
I'll be glad to do that, sir. Why don't you call me back in about 20 minutes?
Thank you very much. I'll do that.
All right, sir.
Good evening.
Hi, Lloyd. Been away, but now I'm back.
Good evening, Mr. Torrance. It's good to see you.
It's good to be back, Lloyd.
What was Bisa?
Hair of the dog that bit me.
Bourbon on the rocks.
That'll do her.
No charge to you, Mr. Torrance.
No charge?
Your money's no good here. Orders from the house.
Orders from the house.
Drink up, Mr. Torrance.
I'm the kind of man likes to know who's buying their drinks, Lloyd.
It's not a matter that concerns you, Mr. Torrance. At least not at this point.
Anything you say, Lloyd. Anything you say.
Sorry, sir. Oh, dear, dear. I made an awful mess of your jacket, sir.
Oh, that's all right. I've got plenty of jackets.
Freddy's avocado, sir. He tends to stain.
Avocado, is it?
Yes, sir. Look, I think the best thing is to come along to the gentleman's room, sir, and we'll get some water to it, sir.
Looks as though you might have got a spot of it on yourself there, Jeevesy, old boy.
Well, that doesn't matter, sir. You're the important one.
Awfully nice of you to say. Of course, I intended to change my jacket this evening before the fish and goose soiree.
Very wise, sir. Very wise.
Here, I'll just hold this for you there.
Oh.
Jeevesy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, let's see if we can improve this with a little water, sir.
All right, I'll just set my bourbon and advocat down right there.
Won't keep you a moment, sir.
Fine. What do they call you around here, Jeevesy?
Grady, sir. Delbert Grady.
Grady?
Yes, sir.
Delbert Grady.
That's right, sir.
Mr. Grady, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
What is that? I don't believe so. It's coming off now, sir.
Mr. Grady, weren't you once the caretaker here?
Why, no, sir. I don't believe so.
You, married man, are you, Mr. Grady?
Yes, sir. I have a wife and two daughters, sir.
And, where are they now?
They're somewhere around. I'm not quite sure at the moment, sir.
Mr. Grady, you were the caretaker here. I recognize you. I saw your picture in the newspapers. You, chopped your wife and daughter up into little bits. And, then you blew your brains out.
That's strange, sir. I don't have any recollection of that at all.
Mr. Grady, you were the caretaker here.
I'm sorry to differ with you, sir. But you are the caretaker. You've always been the caretaker. I should know, sir. I've always been here. Did you know, Mr. Torrance, that your son is attempting to bring an outside party into this situation? Did you know that?
No.
He is, Mr. Torrance.
Who?
A nigger. Cook. Your son has a very great talent. I don't think you are aware how great it is, but he is attempting to use that very talent against your will. Indeed, he is, Mr. Torrance. A very willful boy. A rather naughty boy, if I may be so bold, sir.
It's his mother. She, interferes.
Perhaps they need a good talking to, if you don't mind my saying so. Perhaps a bit more. My girls, sir, they didn't care for the Overlook at first. One of them actually stole a pack of matches and tried to burn it down. But I corrected them, sir. And when my wife tried to prevent me from doing my duty, I corrected her.
First,
And then tell them that we're coming. So that they could start searching for us in case we didn't make it. Or if Jack won't come with us, I'll just have to tell him that we're going by ourselves. That's all there is to it.
Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock!
Danny?
Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock!
Danny, what's the matter, hon?
Red Rock!
You having a bad dream? Danny? Everything's okay.
Danny can't wake up, Mrs. Torrance.
Danny, wake up. Come on, right now. Wake up.
Gone away, Mrs. Torrance.
This is Dick Halloran again. I called a while ago about the folks at the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, yeah. We tried to contact them several times by radio, but they didn't answer. Now, maybe they got their radio turned off or they're in a place where they can't hear it. If you'd like me to, I'll be glad to try them again later on.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I'll call you back later. Bye. Pardon me, miss. What time will we get to Denver?
We're due to arrive at 8:20, sir.
Thank you very much.
Perkins Garage.
Hello, can I speak to Larry?
Speaking.
Hi, Larry, this is Dick. Dick Halloran.
Dick, how you doing? How's the weather down there?
I'm not in Florida, Larry. I'm calling from Stapleton Airport.
What the hell are you doing down there?
Well, I just got in from Miami, and I got to get up to the Overlook today. What's the weather like up there?
Well, the snowplows are keeping things moving in town, but the mountain roads are completely blocked.
That means I'm going to need a snowcat to get up there, Larry. Can you fix me up with one?
What's the big deal about getting up there today, especially in this kind of weather?
Larry, just between you and me, we got a very serious problem with the people who are taking care of the place. They turned out to be completely unreliable assholes. Allman phoned me last night, and I'm supposed to go up there and find out if they have to be replaced.
How long is it going to take you to get up here?
Oh, about 5 hours. I'm going to rent a car here at the airport.
Okay, Dick, I'll take care of it.
Oh, thanks a lot, Larry. I really appreciate that.
That's all right. Drive carefully.
Good morning. You're with Hal and Charlie on Radio 63, KHOW Denver. And Charlie, we have what you call your bad day out there.
What you call your heavy snow. Snowing hard throughout the Denver metro area. Many of the mountain passes, Wolf Creek and Red Mountain passes, are already closed. And the chain law is in effect right now at the Eisenhower Tunnel.
I guess so. We just heard from the news department, Charlie. Only a few of the flights are still landing out at Stapleton International Airport. And with these early storms like this, I guess the entire airport will probably be closed within the hour.
Yeah, they're just not prepared. The storm will continue throughout the day, and the National Weather Service has declared a stockman's and traveler's advisory for all areas outlying the Denver metro region. Get the cows in the barn.
There you go. Many businesses.
Listen to me for a minute, will you, honey? I'm just gonna go and talk to Daddy for a few minutes. And I'll be right back. Now, I want you to just stay here and watch your cartoons, okay? Okay, huh?
Yes, Mrs. Torrance.
Mimi. Mimi.
All right. Now, I'll be back in just about 5 minutes. I'm going to lock the door behind me.
Meep, meep.
How do you like it? How do you like it? What are you doing down here?
I just wanted to talk to you.
Okay, let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
I can't really remember.
You can't remember?
No, I can't.
Maybe it was about Danny. Maybe it was about him. I think we should discuss Danny. I think we should discuss what should be done with him. What should be done with him?
I don't know.
I don't think that's true. I think you have some very definite ideas about what should be done with Danny, and I'd like to know what they are.
Well, I think maybe he should be taken to a doctor.
You think maybe he should be taken to a doctor?
Yes.
When do you think maybe he should be taken to a doctor?
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Jack.
You believe his health might be at stake?
Yes.
You are concerned about him.
Yes.
And are you concerned about me?
Of course I am.
Of course you are. Have you ever thought about my responsibilities?
Oh, Dick, what are you talking about?
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers? Has it ever occurred to you that I have agreed to look after the Overlook Hotel until May the 1st? Does it matter to you at all that the owners have placed their complete confidence and trust in me and that I have signed a letter of agreement, a contract, in which I have accepted that responsibility? Do you have the slightest idea what a moral and ethical principle is, do you? Has it ever occurred to you what would happen to my future if I were to fail to live up to my responsibilities? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it?
Stay away from me.
Why?
I just want to go back to my room.
Why?
Well, I'm very confused. I just need a chance to think things over.
You've had your whole fucking life to think things over. What good's a few minutes more going to do you now?
Stay away from me. Please! Don't hurt me!
I'm not gonna hurt you.
Stay from me!
Wendy!
Stay away!
Darling! Light of my life! I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in.
Stay away from me! Don't hurt me!
I'm not gonna hurt you.
Stay away from me! Please!
Stop swinging the bat.
Stay away from me!
Put the bat down, Wendy.
Stop it!
Wendy, give me the bat.
Please! Stay away!
Give me the bat.
Stop it!
Give me the bat.
Please!
Stop swinging the bat.
Please!
bat.
Jerry!
Wendy!
Jerry!
Give me the bat.
Jerry!
Give me the bat.
Ah,
oh, God damn!
Here and I'll forget the whole goddamn thing. It'll be just like nothing ever happened.
Wendy, baby, I think you hurt my head real bad. I'm dizzy. I need a doctor. Honey, don't leave me in here.
I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna try to get Danny down the sidewinder in the snowcat today. I'll bring back a doctor.
Wendy?
I'm gonna go now.
Wendy?
Yes?
You've got a big surprise coming to you. You're not going anywhere. Go check out the snowcat in the radio and you'll see what I mean. Go check it out. Go check it out. Go check it out.
Thank you.
Wendy?
It's Grady, Mr. Torrance. Delbert Grady.
Grady? Grady. Grady, Hello, Grady.
Mr. Torrance. I see you can hardly have taken care of the business we discussed.
No need to rub it in, Mr. Grady. I'll deal with that situation as soon as I get out of here.
Will you indeed, Mr. Torrance? I wonder. I have my doubts. I and others have come to believe that your heart is not in this, that you haven't the belly for it.
Just give me one more chance to prove it, Mr. Grady. That's all I ask.
Your wife appears to be stronger than we imagined, Mr. Torrance. Somewhat more resourceful. She seems to have got the better of you.
For the moment, Mr. Grady. Only for the moment.
I fear you will have to deal with this matter in the harshest possible way, Mr. Torrance. I fear that is the only thing to do.
There's nothing I look forward to with greater pleasure, Mr. Grady.
You give your word on that view, Mr. Torrance?
I give you my word.
Red rum. Red
Chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Yeah.
Anybody here? Anybody here?
Derek! great party, isn't it?
Thank you.
whatever else I do, midnight.